You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
I'm in my unhinged journaling era, where I'm just messy, crazy thoughts, just letting it all out. And sometimes, yeah, when I'm really inside my head, and I'm having some like intrusive thoughts, I just write it all out and then they're literally gone.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's cool.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever the fuck you are in your day. I hope it's good. I hope you had a great morning. If you're just waking up, I hope it was whatever you wanted the day to be. Yay. Where have I been? What a great question. Where have I been? I think the only real answer is lazy. I think I've been lazy. I think I'd had one episode for January, one episode for February, even though, man, I had high hopes of keeping to a regular schedule. And then, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it was life happened, work happened, a combination of the both, but hey, you know what? Here we are now. Me recording with you right now. So let's get into it. This week's episode, we had Sam Reese from Shitty Craft Club, which you should absolutely go get her book. Sam has been on the podcast a couple of times. I actually forgot that she'd been on. This is her third time. For some reason, I thought it was just second. But I think that's because I had her on during like the COVID years. And there's something about that time recording where it's like none of it existed almost. I have a friend who's him and his girlfriend are like going through the podcast episode by episode from the beginning, which is very sweet. I love the support, but I literally was like, hey, maybe don't listen to the COVID years. And they were like, what, why? And I was like, I think it's just kind of me crying a lot about New York. So I don't know if that's like, you know, the vibe you want for your podcast listening when you hit that year, when you hit 2020. I think it gets better in 2021. But look, I put this shit out there and I do not listen again. People find that very weird. But yeah, I'm not good at listening to podcasts. I don't know why. I think at most I've ever listened to was like This American Life for like a year. Because Ira Glass is just so soothing. But yeah, it's just never been my cup of tea, which feels weird when you have a podcast. That's not how I like to consume media. Personally, I like to doom scroll on TikTok for about 4 hours straight once I wake up. And then after that, there's just no time to listen to a podcast. But back to Sam, not me. Why am I doing that? It's a good episode. I think it's, like I always say, it's a really interesting episode. It's a very introspective episode. I think we do talk like a little bit darker themes and like going from, that sounded like the biggest sigh ever, but that was just because I wasn't breathing. I'm a little stuffy if you can't tell. So I wasn't breathing through my nose while talking. That wasn't a, well, this is what we talked about. If you can't tell, I'm really in my head today, which is like every day. So Natalie, no difference. Yay, anxiety. Anywho, keep bringing it back to me. This episode, we talk about going from like a very, like not good relationships in the sense of like, they're not safe for you, like mentally or emotionally to show emotion, and then going into a safe relationship and like what your brain does to you about that, like how you handle that. And usually it's still like, like you're a little suspect, you're a little side eye. We talk about our bodies growing and learning them and accepting them as they are now, and where we were in the past and how different we looked at our bodies. We talk a little bit about PCOS. I think we talk a little bit about endo. We talk about not being heard at the doctors for women, which is, you know, real fun. We talk about diet culture growing up and like all that good stuff. We're talking about a lot of themes that definitely have been hit on in this podcast multiple times, but I just love talking about it with new people and new perspectives because it does, these topics are so universal, but they affect us so differently, which is just like, you know, wow, like humanity, right? And sorry, sometimes I just can't take myself seriously. But I mean that, and like how important it is to recognize how it affects us differently, how these things will then translate into our everyday, our day-to-day, and what that looks like. And just giving ourselves a little grace, you know? And that one's completely directed at myself, as I've definitely gone through, and I talk about it in the podcast, I've gone through a little bit of a like anxiety spiral that I haven't dealt with in a little while, maybe since the COVID years, and what that's like, and just being nice to yourself again, and not being afraid of you, I guess, in a sense of like, okay, you've been here before and it's okay, like, and now you're here. I think you're going to really like this episode. Go follow Sam Reese. Go buy her book, Shitty Craft Club. Go follow her on her TikToks. She truly is one of my favorite people to follow because she's so fucking funny. And the shitty crafts are just so good. It's so interesting. And tell me what you think and how you're doing and that you missed me and that I should be better about getting the pod. I will say, I had multiple podcasts recording scheduled for this past weekend and people cancel me and then I'm just a busy gal and then I forget to reschedule. So not that I'm blaming other people, but it was like the intention is there. Okay. I will get that person on, but that's life, you know? And then like, it's, I'm like, girl, you gotta figure out, I'm not pregnant. I want to say that, but like, we are trying again. So it's like, you gotta figure this shit out because you're gonna have a human to take care of. Anywho, again, somehow brought it right back to me. Go listen. I'm so excited for you to listen, and I'll see you on their side.
Well, how are you since 2022? How are you? Not that we didn't just talk about surviving.
Scanning my calendars. I'm good. Really good. I think, well, since 2022, what was I doing then? I should have listened to the episode to be like, who was
honestly,
I?
Honestly, I should have too. I did not listen.
I think sometimes I watch videos from that year or like 2020 through 2022 and my voice is a lot higher. And I think it's because I'm like a lot gayer now. But previously I was like, I'm up here. I'm a little more still girly pop for the boys. So that's probably the biggest difference. A lot gayer now.
How much gayer would you say you are?
Like over 100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
You identified as bi originally. Are you feeling full les at this point?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, that's a slippery slope. It doesn't take long for, I feel like, a lot of bisexual women to then be like, wait, actually, mm-hmm. not the other one at all. Yeah, it was, I don't remember. I started dating my partner now in 2021, mm-hmm. I think. Yeah, because we're coming up on 3 years. So, I mean, pretty quickly, bi never felt right to me. Mm-hmm. I was like, not quite right. So I went with just, you know, regular old queer for a while. But I still use that and just, yeah, lesbian, clean and simple.
I love
clean
it.
And simple lesbian.
I also feel like it's a really like common journey now too for someone who maybe identified as straight and just had a really hard time with men being shitty. And then kind of like the like, it's kind of like being in an escape room and it's like, what is the key to happiness? And it was like, oh, it was women. It was,
yeah,
it was vagina.
I had to go to a different room.
I just had to go in a different room this uh-huh. whole time. I have a friend who I love dearly, and I just kind of want to be like, have you tried dating women? Like, I want to, I don't even think they identify as bi, but I just kind of want to be like, but I think you'd have a good time.
Just like accidentally forward them the lesbian master doc and like see what happens.
See what happens.
oh, sorry. I meant to send this to my other friend. It's still pretty interesting. You could read it.
I know it's raining. You have time. Why don't you read it?
Such
it
also, a good book.
It also feels like so shitty to say something like that too. Of like, I don't, why would I just assume that someone would have a better time with women when they've dated men their whole life? You know, like why, who am I to have that judgment? I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people, I see this a lot on TikTok where someone will be like, my husband does X, Y, and Z. And people are like, just date women, as if it's easy mm-hmm. or like 100% easier. And it is easier in that it's like, it's just a different game. It's a whole different reality. It's mm-hmm. Safer, inherently safer. That's been such a big journey over the past like 3 years is feeling safe enough to be vulnerable and share real feelings and feel anger and knowing that my partner is a safe space for that instead mm-hmm. of like, if I show emotion, I'm done for, either mm-hmm. murdered or broken up with, you know?
That's a really good point, because anger is one that I think, especially women hide for a long time. And I definitely did that too. Now that you said that, that was like kind of very eye-opening very quickly of like, yeah, you need, it needs to feel like a safe space. You need to know they're not going to leave mm-hmm. Just because you, like you said, show emotion. And I remember just being in like a really bad relationship and like the emotions were just up and down the whole time for both of us. And it was just like, what is this? Like, and just thinking that was normal. Because that's what, for me at least, it was like, that's what I saw on TV. Like, you get these high highs and these low lows, but it's like, oh no, that's just scripted to like, you know, for the drama. And it's like, shit should not have drama.
Like, yeah, like, or it's exactly what your parents were doing. So you're like, that's a relationship, I guess. Easy. Mm-hmm. I'll do that too. But yeah, the biggest difference also for me was I had to learn a lot about myself in the process, just who I am and what my like values are and what I like and who, you know, just like truly who I am at my core. Mm-hmm. And once I was able to do that, of course, that uncovered like, oh, maybe I am interested in a different type of person, and pretty quickly went down the path and loved it. But now it's even still like, I know it's a safe space, but there's still so much more that I am unpacking mm-hmm. and it's heavy stuff, but it's really life-changing to have a partner who is supporting you through it
mm-hmm.
So
does it ever make you feel guilty? Like sometimes I just always have this like overshadowing feeling of guilt, even like on my best days, of like, oh, I did something wrong somewhere mm. and I'm definitely the partner that is unpacking more all the time, so then I get guilty being like, well, now they have to, you know, cradle me through this again. They just did this last week and they have to do it again. And there's never any resentment that I can, you know, see or tell, but it's like,
but I can make it up,
right? I can make it up. And I do. And then I'll have like a mini panic attack right after they told me that they love me. And then I'm their favorite person. And I was I also, do I even, you know, deserve that? Like my new mantra has been, you're amazing and you deserve love. Like I had to say that to myself repeatedly the past
so
like,
simple
week or so. So simple.
You are amazing. You do deserve love.
Right? But it's so, like you said, it's so easy to just make it up that like maybe you don't. Like maybe you did something so terrible.
My imagination is amazing. Right? She can really go for it. Really writing movies up there.
My OCD like really flared out this past month, and I was like talking to my therapist about it, and she was like, oh, you know what my friend calls this? And I was like, yes, I want to hear what your friend calls this. Like, I need to know right now. And she was like, she calls it the committee. And she'll just be like, the committee doesn't come to this dissertation today. Or like, the committee has spoken and we don't agree. And I was like, I really do like this. The committee.
Yeah, it's like, it's all different facets of you sitting in a conference room, mm-hmm. having a meeting and arguing with each other, mm-hmm. or collectively deciding, no, we're not going to negotiate today. Mm-hmm. that's a fun one. I like that.
It helps. It kind of just brings some humor to it of just like, oh, this is you being like, I don't want to say psycho, but it's like, this is you being like ridiculous. Like, calm down. Go read a book. Take a bath. You're amazing. What is happening?
Yeah. Sometimes you just got to like find a way to be present and mm-hmm. not upstairs in the boardroom with the committee. Yeah. Because mm-hmm. they'll just keep going. Yeah. I have a hard time like, I get now more than ever, I'm able to like tell when it's an old pattern. Still sometimes they slip by still mm-hmm. for sure. But I'm able to a lot more often, like a lot, pretty frequent words. Hi. Pretty frequently, I'm able to hear a narrative that I start to tell myself. And maybe it's like a little rumination OCD, like mm-hmm. definitely vibing in there. But then I'm like, oh, we're also talking, like, they're going to break up with me is like a common pattern because mm-hmm. of XYZ, any mm-hmm. reason. Mm-hmm. And it's happened a few times. The first time it happened, the first like 3 months of us dating, we went on a trip upstate New York and we were driving and I was like, they're not holding my hand while we're driving and they're probably going on this trip to break up with me. Mm-hmm. And and like the first 2 days of the trip, I was just like in my brain, like could not relax. And then I finally shared this information and they were like, we're on a trip together. I paid for a trip. Why would I do that? And
I know, what a way to get broken up with in upstate New York, like in Ithaca. Like, yeah, and now like I leave you. You
have rich to person your way breakup. I don't know. Yeah, take the bus, bitch. So cruel. No, but I definitely find myself thinking that sometimes still. And then 2 minutes later, we're like looking for apartments or a new house to rent. And I'm like, the dissonance is alarming. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a little easier to be like, just a fun thought. My brain was like, what about this? Have you tried this one on? Do you like that? And then, yeah, I have to like go outside or look at a bird or something.
The amount of like how quickly my anxiety will go down if I just go outside.
Right.
And it's like the fact that I have to tell myself, like I have to work myself up to do it of like take a walk around the block.
It feels
and
then hard.
It feels so hard. And you get outside and you're like, this is great. I'm going to go get a smoothie now. Nothing was real. Nothing
I've actually never real. Been happier.
I've never been happier. I hate this so much. Like, I think for me, what also pisses me off is like, I definitely had like huge like anxiety issues like 2019, 2020. And I was like, got through them. Yes. Score, queen, we're done. And then to have something kind of all of a sudden just kind of like reopen that box out of nowhere. And you're just like, no. Like I did this already. Like,
yeah, but there's a level two.
Right. It's like, why are we back here? Like, why are we back? I hate 100%. This. I thought we got all through this. We love ourselves. We love our life and partner. Why are we back here? And then when I was talking to my therapist, I wonder if my therapist listens to the podcast because she knows about the show. So she could easily Google it.
And I think she has at some point.
I hope so, because I usually talk well of her. She's great. I love her. But we were talking about something and she was like, yeah, I was reading this book about how everyone sees the world through their eyes as a kid. So we react to everything as an adult as like how we experience it as a child. Yes. And I like that is actually what opened the box for me, I think, because that's actually where like my childhood OCD came from, was when I was a fucking kid. And it just like reopened everything. And I was like, oh my God, like I can't. where did this come from? I have to figure this out. And I was like, this is the worst. And then, of course, I put that on my partner of like, here's where I'm at. I don't feel good. You're going to have to tell me you love me repeatedly. Don't leave me. Don't die. Don't divorce me. Don't die first. I can't die first either. I think we have to die together. Mm-hmm.
Were you able to like communicate all of this pretty clearly?
Yeah, I do.
That's really nice.
I do over communicate a lot, which I think overall is good for us. But like, I don't know how to keep things in. Like everything comes out.
Oh, I'm jealous.
It's a gift and a curse because sometimes it's too much. It's like, this doesn't need to be on that person.
Grass is always greener.
Yeah. But I will say, I don't think I'd want to keep it in. I've tried and I've literally seen my body like just fall apart physically in like a matter of hours.
I struggle with that. I'm like a very internal processor and my partner's a very external processor. And those days where I'm just like inside my brain. Journaling has helped in that I used to journal for an audience. Did you ever do that? Like, you're like, well, someone's going to read it.
The show used to be a blog, but I didn't do live journal. But Oxac, I mean, like, was a blog.
Real journal, like just for you diary.
Oh.
I would write in it as if like somebody was going to find it and read it. And it's probably because I was learning about Anne Frank at this time. And I was like, this is just what happens.
Everyone reads everyone's diaries at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I realized like probably this year, embarrassing, that I still kind of journal like that. Like it has to be perfect or I'll like rip the page up, but this is just supposed to be for me. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm in my unhinged journaling era where I'm just messy, crazy thoughts, just letting it all out. And sometimes, when I'm really inside my head and I'm having some like intrusive thoughts, I just write it all out and then they're literally gone.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's cool.
Do you like stream of consciousness books? That's the way they're written, like stream of consciousness?
Probably.
Stream of conscious? That word.
Stream of conscious. Yeah. I think I would. I think that's how I write as well.
Yeah, because I was about to say, that's very stream of conscious. And I feel like some people hate that, but some people love it. And I've always loved it. Like, I just love everyone's thoughts all out there. With no, like, connection sometimes, but there is a connection always.
I don't think about the books that I've really loved, and I wonder if that's kind of the style that they write in.
Yeah. I mean, that's also a weird question to be like, let's bring it to English now. Let's AP English 11. Let's talk some Charles Bukowski. I think he was stream of conscious. He's a weird one.
I don't think I've ever read, which is interesting.
I like him, but he writes about women terribly.
Sure.
But I liked his style of writing, but any book of his, like, he just really, it's very degrading. I don't know. Like, every time people find out I like them, they're like, oh, yeah? Like, okay. And I was like, I just randomly picked out his book, Ham on Rye and Borders, R.I.P., because the cover...
Borders.
The cover was lime green. That's how I discovered Charles Bukowski, one of my fave colors.
Me too.
I know. I see in the background. I was like, yes. I love a lime green. I love a bright orange. Oh, I love the brightness.
Limited two coated.
Yeah, limited two. Oh, also RIP, limited two.
I think it's called Justice now.
Oh, okay.
If it's still around. I know that it rebranded at some point, but
yeah. Shouldn't have. Yeah, limited to Justice, Claire's. I still go in Claire's. Like, I'm very happy for the girlies that are doing Sephora at 10, do you, whatever, but they will never truly understand the pure joy of Claire's and the mall.
You can get body glitter, best friend necklaces, and fuzzy diaries in one day.
And if you're really lucky, those very uncomfortable, like, plastic thongs. Like, I don't know what material they were, but they were not cotton.
No. Legally.
Legally.
Can't be a material even close to cotton.
Yeah, I think I may have talked about this on the podcast before, but I wore one of those thongs my freshman year of, freshman year of high school after coming from a Catholic school. I went to a public high school. I wore this thong with the outfit was adorable, but there was no breathability. And next thing I know, I smell like chicken.
Mm.
And everyone was like, what's that smell? And it's my vagina.
Wow. It was roasting.
Yeah. I'll never forget my best friend being like, I smell KFC. And I was like, no, you don't. Shut the fuck
up. Did you take it off in the bathroom and throw it away?
At no point did that cross my mind as an option. Because then I wouldn't be wearing underwear anymore, Sam. And people would know. The shorts were white. People would know.
Oh, white shorts. Okay. That's fair.
But honestly, I don't think people would have noticed. The thong itself was like red or something, or like pink. So it was like...
Did it have words on it?
I don't think so. I think it was just that like really hard material. Like it just stayed like this. Like this is like the thong part. I did immediately throw away the thong after that. But I was just like, ugh.
Devastating. You were like, I'm a woman today. I'm wearing my first thong to public high school. And then it made me smell like roasted chicken.
Yeah. And then I was in one of my biggest regrets in life that I probably feel guilty about, but actually don't feel guilty about. I was in drama, and it was a whole class of like freshmen through seniors. And they all smelt it too. And they're like, what is that? And I was like, I think it's the kid in the trench coat who was a sweet boy. But I was like, I know the popular kids will be like, yeah, it's the boy in the trench coat.
And that boy is now famous celebrity. I can't think of a single celebrity name. It's Timothy Chalamet.
It's Timothy Chalamet. He's doing great for himself.
That was just a moment that was like, Billy Eichner's name a woman. He's like, name a man. Like,
No.
Can't think of any, but close enough, Timothy Chalamet.
So you, as someone, as the internal like thinker, because that's my partner's the internal thinker. What's it like having a partner that is full on external, like when it comes to their thoughts? Is it annoying? Is it a lot? Because that's how I think of it in my head.
Like, I'm assuming it's annoying. No, I think it's I like it because it sparks a lot of conversations. It does like encourage me to then share my feelings. And especially when I'm in my head, and I'm like, well, it's so easy for them to share this and they feel comfortable sharing it. So why don't I just give it a try? And a lot of it is me like rehearsing in my head to be like, just say it like this. Just be casually like, hey, I really hurt my feelings when you said, or I'm really worried about, just practice it. And then I say it and it's truly no big deal at all. You know, like it's so easy. And then we have a conversation. I think sometimes coupled with ADHD, it can be like I'm working and then they'll pop in Kramer style and like have a lot of thoughts. And I have to be like, I need 5 minutes to finish what I'm doing. But I don't know. Other than that, I mean, it's part of what makes them who they are. So.
Yeah.
I really like it.
I love that. I know it is crazy to have like, just thinking of like the conversations too of like, oh, hey, when you did this, I didn't like this. To be like, oh yeah, heard, seen, we're good.
Yeah.
And then the conversation's over. Like we like, and you're like, okay, yeah.
Oh. Huh.
That's what that's supposed to be. That's it. Great. What I do, I can be very bitchy, which I hate. I'm off birth control. And so I was on IUD and it like fucking mellowed me out for years. Like,
ooh, interesting.
Yeah, I had no PMS symptoms. It was great. Every once in a while, I'd be like, I feel crazy. And then I'd be like, oh, it's the IUD. But when I got off for a couple months, it was like the day or two before ovulating, I think, or like the day or two before my period. I can't remember. I would just go on a weird rampage of like anger and like want to say like hysteria and like manic. It was so intense. I'm like, the last time that we had a fight was like for Halloween, actually. I was like, oh, let's do this, and he was like, okay, and then we couldn't find anything, so he was like, actually, let's do this, and I was like, sure, whatever, here, I bought this costume, whatevs. It's supposed to come on Friday, perfect, that's like when the party is or whatever. And to explain a little bit, our buzzer does not work anymore. It used to like buzz and we could go downstairs. Now we don't hear anything. So, and it will never get fixed, unfortunately, because that's how like our landlord works. Right. And so I was out working and I get the notification of like, hey, it's going to be here soon. I was like, hey, you know, husband, can you be around for this? And he was like, yeah, totally. Perfect. And then I got the notification, got delivered. And I was like, hey, did you get it? And he was like, no. So then I didn't have, and it wasn't his fault. It just was like the person couldn't get in. There was no notification. So now I don't have a like costume. And we waited to the last minute anyways, which always happens for Halloween. So then we're going to the party and I'm like silent and I'm like, I don't want to go to this party. I'm like really upset because I'm like, ugh, I'm just, I like put on
vision.
Like a, I had a vision and I didn't even, it was like some anime costume. I was like, I didn't even know who this was, but it was going to match with his. And then everyone loved his costume. People would stop in the street being like, oh, you're so-and-so. And I just wore like a see-through shirt and people would be like, what are you? And I was like, I'm a slut. And I was like, to my friends, I didn't really mean it. I was just like really pissed off. But I'm silent. And he was just kind of like, do you not want to go? Like, are you okay? And I was like, I'm fine. And I was like, but next time, like, can we like figure this out? Like, before the week before. And he was like, okay. And so then we have the party. I actually leave early. It was like a rock show. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna leave. And we kind of were definitely like little snippy with each other because I was kind of like shitting on like his favorite band. And I was like, yeah, I'm good. And he was like, yeah, you can go. and so then the next morning we're like talking and he was just like, hey, it really felt like you were blaming me for what happened. And I didn't think that was cool. And then that was just kind of it of like, yeah, no, I totally was. Like, I totally was blaming you. And I'm sorry. I felt gross in my body because I've gained weight and I knew that was going to fit. And then I had nothing. Oh, that's what it was. I put on an old costume and it didn't even go up to my boobs. And I was just like, fuck it all. Like, we're done. Cause I was like, yeah,
it's gonna be a bad night. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is where I was. And he was like, okay, let's communicate that next time. And then we got, I just got like devil ears for the next party. And I was a cute little devil that night. And it was all fine. But it was just like, what was the point of
my keyboard?
I can't remember the point of that story was of just like, oh, that the fights aren't nothing. Like, you're allowed to be in like a healthy relationship where you feel safe, like you said, you can be these things and it's okay. Like, you shouldn't abuse it. Like, you shouldn't be like bitchy or like cunty like 24/7, but you're allowed to be human. And I think a lot of my childhood, I think I fell really into the having to be obedient like category as a girl.
Hold it all in, be good, be quiet.
Right. And so then you don't know how to be these other emotions, and then when you do, it's almost like they're too extreme and you don't know how to backtrack, and then you immediately go down a spiral of like, how could I do that? I'm going to lose everything that I've built because I was this thing, because I felt
getting
this
punished
way
for feeling things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I
big
think
time.
And I think when my therapist brought up like, you view the world as you did as a child, like even as an adult, it was like, oh, did I make any progress? Am I just still there? And that's what like the spiral happened, because yeah, feeling guilt 24/7 should never be a thing, especially in a relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's that seems like a very normal, healthy experience. Yeah, I have a lot of trouble with like little fights like that mm-hmm. and feeling my feelings. But yeah, it's hard to be like to in the moment know that that's what's happening, to say like, hey, having a bad body day, having a bad brain day, whatever it is, I just need to be over here doing that. You can go on your own and have your day. Mm-hmm. And vice versa, like when your partner is having a bad day, to be like, totally get it. You go do you over there. I'm in a good mood. So I'm gonna be over here doing my thing, and just like having a boundary for yourself either way. That's hard to do, but it's really helpful.
I was gonna say, that's so like the healthy way to do it. But if my partner's having a bad day, I'm like somehow making it about myself of like how did I make you have a bad mood? How can I take care of you? And like a lot of times Aaron's like, no, I'm good. I need this. Like, I'm just going to zone out on my phone for an hour and that's it. And I'm just like, but what if this is actually about me?
70% of the time, that's what's going on. I'm like, how do I fix it? Mm-hmm. I did something. How do I fix it? And it's like, well, no, hard to remember.
Right.
Sometimes, most of the time. Not you. And then it's like, it's on the other person to tell you if it is you. So,
yeah, there was a TikTok that was like, they're like, my mantra this year is like, let them, where it's like, if someone's mad at you, let them. If someone's talking shit about you, let them. And it's like, one, no one is ever talking about me in that way. I think what's really funny for me is like this year learning how egotistical I am, where I think everyone is thinking about me. And truly, at the end of the day, no one is. And no one should. Like, I don't mean that as in like a, oh, like no one cares about me. But it's like, no, no one is thinking about this shit the way that you are, like the general you is ever. So it's like, yeah. Why don't you go what live is your that? Life? I don't know. I sometimes think it is social media because we are seeing people's life in real time, whatever they're posting. And so then it's like, well, I'm thinking about them now. So then if I'm posting, they must be thinking about me. But again, I don't really know what that is or where it comes from. We'll be talking about this in therapy on Monday.
write it on the list. It's going on the list.
It's on the list. My favorite thing. Do you have a therapist? Do you have a do therapy?
Yeah.
How does your conversation start? Mine starts the same every time, and it cracks me up.
How does it start?
I pick up the phone and I go, hi. And she goes, how are you? And I go, I'm good. And then there's a pause. And then I go, how are you? And she's like, I'm doing well. And I go, okay, cool. And then there's just a pause. And then she's like, what do you want to talk about? And I was like, then we got into it. But yeah. It's always the same every fucking time.
That's hilarious. I feel like I have those standard sign-on, sign-offs with my parents whenever I talk to them on the phone. But with my therapist, I stress so much about, not stress, I guess, but I have a lot of anxiety around like how to get the conversation started. And oh my God, my cat is like cleaning herself on my microphone. Ma'am.
You can't hear it.
That's good. She's intentionally trying to hit it so that I pay attention to her and feed her. Emma Stone, you're a diva.
you were great in Poor Things.
Yeah, you were so good. Yeah, usually when I sign on, they'll be like, hey. And I'll be like arranging my desktop, hiding myself view, getting like things situated. I'm like, hold on. Can you hear me? I'm always putting on like a, is it good? Is this good for you? And then they're like, yeah. And they're very comfortable being like quiet until I'm like talking myself into what the topic will be, where be like, yeah, good. And they'll be like, how's your morning? Like, yeah, good. Great, doing well. Actually, well, and I think they probably are just like, she gets there herself.
Just the actually, let her go. The actually is so accurate. Because I never am like, oh, I'm having a bad day. It's like, no, I'm good. But actually, this happened. Or like, but.
No, it's good. Yeah, I'm having a good day. Yesterday, it's been a good week. My closet fell on me. And then I had a bunch of feelings about overconsumption and shame. And so I'm feeling a lot of shame, actually. So I'm really sad and disappointed in myself.
Oh, my God. I can only hope every therapy session starts like that. Do you do Zoom or on the phone?
Zoom.
I do on the phone, which is like, I feel like just saved my sanity. Like if I had to also see myself while talking to my therapist, I would like lose my goddamn mind.
To hide myself view. I can't look.
No, that's really smart. I'm too vain. And I like to watch myself no matter what the situation. Yeah.
I'm sad.
I'm so sad. We used to do in person and then like COVID happened. And then it just changed my world too, because like she is on the Upper West Side and I live in Brooklyn. So it was like, I'd go and it'd be an hour up, hour down. It was like my day was ruined. And now it's just like right after work, I just get on the phone and I gossip with my gal and I love it.
Yeah. Phone call is interesting. I've always done either, in person, and then I took a break for a while. It was in person and then Zoom, but so the therapist I was seeing, like 2018 to 2021 maybe, she was in person, and then COVID, we did Zoom, and I would see her, like, zoning out, and, like, the light from a browser kind of, like, on her face, like, she was looking things up, but not, like, in a way where she was like, I'm looking something up for you. It was like, oh, tell me more about that. And then she would like kind of be emailing. I don't know what she was doing, but it got so distracting where I'd be like, I don't think she's listening to me anymore.
Oh my God, that would drive me crazy.
Yeah. And then I had recommended her to some of my friends because, like, yeah, when I first started with her, I was in hell and she helped me put out all these fires and, like, we got through it and she helped me break up with my boyfriend who I was really unhappy with. And, like, we went through a lot of life together. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, well, you know, if you're like in crisis, I think she's a great therapist to help you through it. She's very calming, very mm-hmm. logical, gives you actionable advice. And both of the friends that I had recommended were like, yeah, she was good for the first like month. And now she's not really paying attention in the sessions. Like, I think it's just something she does, which is pretty bad.
Yeah, to pay, because I'm assuming a lot of people are paying out of pocket for this sesh. Like, I want 45 minutes all on me. Like, I want it all on me.
And now my therapist does this thing that's never happened before, which I can't, I guess I like it, but I don't know how to respond yet, which they'll be like, and in our sessions, is there anything that I can do to better help you? Is there something that makes you anxious that I'm doing that I can improve on? And, or like, is there something that's made you upset that I've done? And I'm like, I haven't even thought about that. I don't, I have no idea. And my answer is always something like, I don't think so. All good. And I don't know if that's true yet. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because you don't get time to think about it. Like, that's such a, I was going to say loaded question, but it's not loaded. It's like a hard question to ask and have an answer immediately.
Yeah, yeah. So give me a week and a half to think about it. Because then eventually, I guess my feedback was, I had one piece of feedback that was, I don't remember what I'm saying in the session. So especially if you're like, yeah, let's talk about the X, Y, and Z next week. Like, and I'm like, yeah, let's do that. I will have no accountability on that because it goes away. Mm-hmm. So I need you to be like, last week you mentioned you wanted to talk about X, Y, and Z. Do you want to still do that? So that was cool. But yeah, sometimes those questions, I'm like, feedback.
Yeah,
just have power in this situation. Is that what you're saying? I can feel empowered to express my feelings.
Amazing. That's so true too. Just like send me a survey and then maybe I could think about it. But I also forget everything so quickly. I'll be like I do this on the podcast too. I will be in a story and then be like, why am I telling the story? Like, where is this going? Do I have dementia? What is happening?
I know the feeling exactly, where it's almost like the closest comparison I have is from when I went snowboarding for the first time in middle school, where it was like this thing of, if you're thinking about what you're doing, you'll fall immediately. But if you're just kind of like in this weird soft focus like zone, then you're doing it. And the minute you're like, I'm doing it, then you fall.
Whoa. What a metaphor for fucking life too, man. Like,
yeah. Man.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I do that too, telling stories where then I'll suddenly become self-aware and I'm hearing my voice and I'm hearing myself talk and I'm seeing people staring at me and it's in slow motion. And I'm like, but you don't care about this, right? And they're like, keep talking. We're listening to you. And like, oh, that's what you're staring at me and you're listening to me. Okay. Well, I'm done with the story actually now. Sorry.
I do that in one-on-one conversation so much. The podcast, I think I can handle it pretty well, but like one-on-one in person, you're making direct eye contact with me. I will lose it immediately and then just shut the fuck down. And like all of a sudden you'll ask me questions and I'll be like, yeah. But if it's like three or more people, I'm fine. Cause then I feel like I can bounce off. But one-on-one, oh my God, like I don't know how I ever dated. And I do know how I dated. I know how I dated. All I did was just ask them questions because the moment it had to be on me, I was like, oh no. Just
throw like deer in headlights.
Yeah. Just throw it right back. And then, yeah, when you're dating men, they're like, yes, I would love to talk about me. Would love to.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the amount of times I was just like interviewing someone on a date, 95% of the time.
Yeah. I remember going on a third date with this guy. We got sushi and he just like talked about himself the whole time. He was like a nice guy. But I just kept same thing. I was just interviewing him. And then I remember him being like, this is such a great date. And he went to kiss me and like wanted more. And I was like, I do feel nothing because you at no point even asked like, oh, thanks for asking. What about you? Like at no point. And I was like, oh,
so easy. Absolutely. I remember being on a date where I was like, so where are you from? He's like, oh, Long Island. oh, that's great. You know, is your family still there? Yeah, I have three sisters, live there. Like, I got the whole life story. And then he finished and it was just like, so what do you like to do here? Like, there's no like, yeah, where are you from? And then at the end of the night, he did that face that guys make when they're about to kiss you. It's like,
like they got like serious? A little cross-eyed.
Yeah, they're like, and you're like, well, we did not connect, my friend.
No.
But then sort of like, okay, bye.
But they think they think we did. They absolutely think we did. It's so sad.
So sad.
So sad.
Aww, sad for you guys.
I don't miss dating. I don't miss dating at all. I hated it. Hated it so much. So much. I don't even think I got like that much like free like drinks or food out of it. Cause I'd be like, I'm a feminist. We split. And now I'm like, why did you do that? They
the
pay.
Stuff.
They pay.
If someone's offering, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, are you on TikTok?
I am. I am on TikTok. Okay.
I wonder, are you on like the ADHD, ADHD side of TikTok at all?
No. What side am I on right now? Mine is such a clusterfuck. I just messed it up because I looked at a lot of recipes that I wanted to try this morning. So now it's going to be nothing but recipes, which is great. But no. So to answer your question, no, I'm not on the ADHD right now. I have skimmed it before.
Sure.
What's going on in there?
Well, I feel like a big big thing for both me and my partner in the past like year and a half has been the like ADHD autism combo TikTok algorithm, which every day it's like, yeah, if you can't figure out how to make eye contact during a conversation, but just like the way autism is not researched for girls and women is like super fucked up. They just started doing research on women's hormones like in August or something. Like there's they just started using real blood in tampon studies last year.
I remember even like trying to explain that to Aaron of like, yeah, like it doesn't, I still to this day just think a tampon just kind of like it's like a plug. Like because when you take it out, it's just like, what did it do? I don't know. But yeah, it's like the fact that you just started using blood for that and not water. And it's like, it's so many, it's what
do you mean? Like, that's the one thing it's for. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, a lot of the TikToks I'm getting are about like how autism shows up in girls and women. And it's very much like this idea of masking is basically like observing how other people are in how are existing socially in conversation and basically reenacting it and learning like, okay, that's how we're doing things. Okay, I'll do that too. And I'm, you know, they always say like autism is a spectrum and it's always thought of as like this thing that little boys have, little nonverbal boys who are actually so smart. Like that's all of the autism narratives I feel like I got growing up. And so it wasn't until like truly this year it was like, oh, my partner had this huge breakthrough where they were like, oh, I have my whole life been like felt like I was so different and apart from everyone because I couldn't figure out what the rules were. And I was trying to just like figure out how to socially interact with these people. And then I'd be exhausted for a week after doing it. And I was so a lot of that kind of self-discovery and a lot of it has resonated with me. And a lot of ADHD and autism is like very linked. And so a lot of looking back at like dating and conversations about with my therapists about just existing in general have been clicking a lot. And unmasking is something that comes up a lot, which is you think it's like the idea of, okay, once I know, I just like let it all melt away. And then I'm just like a weird person. Like that's what you interpret it as. But actually it's like a series of, or it's like a really slow process of understanding how your brain actually works and letting yourself exist like that, where like, yeah, I used to be able to go out and do comedy and rehearsals and this and that 1,000 hours a week, go, go, go. And now I know a lot of people feel this way that they can't do as much, but I do like one group hang with my friends who are very safe people. And I need like truly a week to recover. Damn. My social battery.
Yeah.
So it's like recognizing a lot of that and then being like, okay, that's just part of what it is now. And there are some people that I like truly just can't connect with but I used to put on like a character to do it. I can't do that anymore. So I'm like, we're not friends because I can't connect with them in any real way. I don't know. That's kind of been like a big journey. And to get diagnosed with any of this costs thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. So TikTok has been a really interesting resource for self-diagnosis for a lot of people. And once you see it, you can't unsee it.
Yeah, I get a lot. I wouldn't say shade. I have a lot of friends that are dudes in their 40s. My husband is in his 40s. And I use TikTok a lot for things. I think it's a really huge resource. And I will get shade when they're like, oh, where did you get that from? From TikTok? You got it from TikTok? And it's like, okay, I just taught you three different things that you now believe because of TikTok. So like, shut the fuck up. Like it, like you said, like so many of these things cost like thousands of dollars or mm-hmm. like, you know, inadequate doctors telling you no. Like, you know, the one that I've been on recently, not ADHD, is endo. Being on endo TikTok has been huge. I luckily, knock on wood, it's not something I've experienced, but like just the amount of information I've learned about it for people going through it and just hearing the journeys they went through of like being in this debilitating pain since they were like 10 or 11 and not being taken seriously. And now they're infertile because these cysts burst on their fallopian tubes and now they can like never like ugh. Fucking have a kid. It's like horrifying. So
because the doctor is like, just lose weight and you're got anxiety. Sorry, that's it.
Just lose weight. I was in 2019, I was having vertigo or like dizzy spells. I don't know what it was. My mom's actually going through it now. I think it actually literally is like, there's like calcium in your ears that if it like kind of dislodges, like you can lose your balance. And I think that happened to me and I went through it for like three to six months.
That's horrible.
And you don't know when it's going to come. So it makes you really anxious. And so then my mom was going through that. And I was like, oh no, I know exactly what you're going through. And she was like, yeah, it just makes me really anxious. She had a cold. So anytime she coughed really hard, it would send this dizzy spell and she'd just be anxious waiting for it. And I was like, I know exactly what you're talking about. But when I started that journey of like, cause I'm very like, I'm figuring out what the fuck is wrong with me. Like I am so sweet. I am a cunt to doctors. I've yelled at doctors.
Good for
like,
you.
I don't care what gets written down and I've gotten every test I've ever wanted, knock on wood. This is a different story. I'll tell it later. But so I go in and I'm just like, hey, I'm having these dizzy spells. I'm starting to have like migraines. I don't know what's going on. It's making me really anxious. The fucking doctor looks me up and down. She does not take my weight. She does not take my blood pressure. She takes none of my vitals. And she just goes, we're going to do blood work because I think you have diabetes. And like, that was it. She just looked me up and down and she was like, diabetes. And then my favorite part was they like left me for over an hour. A nurse was finishing her shifts and she was like, okay, I'm going to bring someone else in because they were having a hard time. I have small veins. So it's hard for people to like get blood. She leaves. She's like, someone's going to come in. An hour goes by and I have to be like, hey, like no one came. And then they were like, who left you? Tell us who left you. And I was like, I don't remember their fucking name. I'm not narking on them. I don't give a shit. Please take my blood. I actually had like a show to go to perform on. And I was like, please just take my fucking blood. And then everything came back normal. And I never heard from that doctor again. Like they never even followed up to be like, no, it's not diabetes. And I was like, you fucking whore. And so I went through that for like months of them being like, we think it's like a sinus thing. We think it's this. And finally I got an ENT, a beautiful, beautiful soul that she was like, you know what? It's not this, but we can get an MRI if you want. Cause I was like, brain tumors in my family. Like, what if it's a brain tumor? And she was like, I don't think it is, but is that going to make you feel better if we get an MRI? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, then let's do it. She got me fucking neuro and the neurologist was fucking psycho, but she got rid of like the pain or like the dizziness. But she was like, yeah, I think it'll make you feel better. Let's do it. And that was it.
Revolutionary.
Like, it was like, oh my God, thank you. Yeah. So unfortunately, I also kind of only do female doctors at this point too, because the men doctors are the ones that are like, no.
Horrible. So unaware. I had a dermatologist. I was there just for a checkup, just to check the moles. And I had the gown on and he came in and just started ripping it apart. I was fully nude underneath and he just started, there was a female assistant in the room and we both like locked eyes and I could tell that like, this is how he does things. It was so horrible. I was like, yeah, I have like trauma that this is bringing it. Like, this is horrible. And I left there like unable to speak for hours. It was really bad and I should have reported him, but I didn't.
But it's like when that happens, you're in shock that you just like, what do I do? Like, you don't think of it. I know he was scratching the toilet, and I was just scratching it. I loved it.
She's never done that before.
Oh, she wants your attention so bad.
You just want food. She's a little food queen. She had a fake seizure this week.
A fake seizure?
Well, she's never done it before. She hasn't done it since. And I spent $800 at the vet, and all her blood work is totally fine.
Weird.
So am I the problematic doctor? Am I like, you're fine. Wow.
You might be. I got a dog that had seizures randomly. We never knew when they were coming. And that's actually how she died too. It was like she was having a seizure, and my mom's, she was old at that point. But yeah, she'd have a seizure. We'd just hold her, and then she'd poop, and then she'd still, and then she'd be fine. It was so weird.
Yeah, it was freaky. The funny thing is, they're like, well, seizures can be caused by low blood sugar, brain tumor, cancer. Like, the list was just like, it happens to brain tumor and cancer. It was like, okay.
I used to work for someone. They were very in shape, which is important to the story. But he was doing CrossFit. He was going up, doing like a pull up, and had a seizure while he was pulling up. And the next thing he knew, he was like in the hospital. All good. He's all fine. But it was the same thing of just like, what the fuck happened? And they like did all these like MRIs and stuff, and they were just like,
don't know.
There's nothing there. He had like a not a dark spot, but there was like something slightly different about like how his brain was like positioned or something. And they were like, yeah, we think it's that. We just think it's that. And then he could never do CrossFit again. And I was like, is that a bad thing? Like,
yeah, you don't need to be pushing tires around. I think it's okay.
No, I was like, it wasn't the CrossFit. Are we pushing ourselves too hard? I hate CrossFit so much. Which, like, I guess if that's for you, good for you. But I don't trust it.
Not for me.
It's a little too culty for me. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw it was in an article or a TikTok. We'll never know. But that was about how watching shows like Grey's Anatomy makes you think that doctors will go to any length to help you figure it out, which is so opposite of how it is in reality, where they're like, I'll do a blood work. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, bye.
I love how this podcast has gone into doctors, which I think is really fair and important because it's a really important relationship with your body and like learning how to advocate for yourself. Because I just got a bill. So I have HPV. I've got, I have one of the three that's like, oh, this could cause cervical cancer. I have HPV 18. So every 6 months I have to go get a pap smear, which is totally fine. It always pops positive. Mm-hmm. And then I've had to do a couple cold pops just to like confirm like these cells are like, okay, like you're good. It's not cancer. And then 2 days ago, I got a bill for the biopsy of the cells, the Colpop, from last year. And I was like, I'm sorry, what the fuck? Like, I've done this multiple times at this point, too. And it's the first time I've gotten a bill. So now I'm like, am I getting a bill for the one I had? So this one's from the one I had in March of last year. Am I getting one for the one I had in August? And I'm actually supposed to go, like, this weekend to get another one. What?
Covering these.
Yeah, luckily,
buddy.
It's not the worst. Luckily, it's like $200, and I'm like, for my sanity, for my health, absolutely. I have a lot of things I've had to be screened for, and I honestly feel lucky for that. Like, colon cancer runs in my family, so I've had colonoscopy since I was 21, and it's starting to pop up in people younger. And like,
yeah,
I want my husband to get one so bad. He's 42, and he tried, and they were like, not till you're 45.
But so I have, stupid.
It's so fucking stupid. My best friend's dad died of colon cancer when he was 49. And it's like, it makes me so upset. And then my dad, they caught it when he was 40, but they think it was in his body since he was like 30. So me and my brother have been able to get them since we were 21. It sucks to go through, but I'm like, at least I have the golden ticket of like, it runs in my family. My grandfather had it. My dad had it. Like, and then my, I had a lump and a lump in my boobs like 2 years ago. And they were like, you're fine. You're fine. Like, you're so young. And I literally was like, I did the thing that the PSA tells me to do, which is fucking check my breasts. So now you're going to do the thing where you check my breasts. And so then she felt it. And she was like, oh, like she was saying this before she even touched my goddamn tit. I was so furious. She's actually a terrible, terrible doctor. My other friend used the same doctor, and I think he reported her because he also had a lump. And she was like, it's fine. And he was like, I have a lump. You're going to fucking biopsy it. So then finally I get a mammogram and like a sonogram. Like I get both. I get the like referral. And so I call the imaging center and they were like, oh my God, you're so young. Like you're so young. Nothing, like there's no rush. And I was like, please get me the fuck in. Like, get me the fuck in. Like my aunt has had breast cancer. Like, get me the fuck in. So we go in. The lump is nothing. The lump is literally just like a fatty tissue. But the doctor comes in and she was like, hey, I'm actually really glad you came in because we found something. And I was like, what does that mean? And they're like, well, we don't know what it is. We just know it's not a cyst or something. They're like, we know it's not this. So we have to biopsy. And so next thing I know, like now my world's kind of like crumbling around me. Long story short, I'm fine. Everything was benign. It was like it's called like fibroedema or something, which my mom has as well, which they just look a little weird. But then I'm getting the biopsy and all of a sudden everyone's saying things differently to me. They're not saying, right. Oh my God, you're so young. They literally started saying best of luck. And I was like, okay, thank you for the may the odds forever be in your favor, like vibe. Like, thanks, great, love it.
Oh, sorry.
I had a wedding that day too. And I was like, can I drink? And they were like, you should. And I was like, that's hilarious because I'm getting hammered all I wanna tonight. Do. Yeah, no, I got hammered that night. And it was all fine. But because of that, I've now been able to get breast like mammograms like every 6 months. Too. So it was like, I feel you kind of have to really like work for it or like they put you through it. But I'm like, at least I'm able to get these screens and I'm not getting these weird like pushback from it where like so many people won't get that opportunity and then it might be too late. Like, it's like, I don't know. Why are
you now? Here's my question. Mm-hmm. Can you like, my dad is like heart disease, high cholesterol, like all that stuff, had a triple bypass when I was younger.
Oh, shit.
And they've never tried to like verify that information, right? But if I wanted to get heart stuff, they would do it because of that. Could I just say it runs in my family?
I think you can.
I feel like, yeah.
I feel no one has ever verified it with me.
Right.
The only time my dad had to go with me when I think because I was so young, when I was 21, he had to go talk to the doctor. And the doctor was like, how old were you? And he was like, this age. When it happened, but this is when they thought it was in me. And the doctor literally was like, you should have died, to my dad. And it was like, my dad was so pissed off afterwards. He was like, what the fuck was that? And I was like, I don't know, man. But no one has ever, like, since I've been in New York, that was when I lived in Virginia. Since I've been in New York, no one has questioned, like, ever. My family history, ever. No one has asked for verification at any point. I have been, like, to friends to be like, I think you should just lie and say, it runs in your family.
Okay, this is good because this is a system that's not built for us. It's like, you know, we have to scam the system. I was thinking about this too with apartments where I'm like, I'm just going to have a friend Photoshop my goddamn bank account so it looks like I make 20 times the rent because fuck you. Like you're being landlord's unethical. Fuck off. Here's a Photoshop photo of my bank account. Enjoy. Thank you for the apartment.
I think the way that the system has been created for us or like where it's moving, it's turned into a work smarter, not harder situation. And if that means Photoshopping, like we have a lot of friends in graphic design who can make anything look legit. That's what you do.
You're getting a deep fake. Sorry, bitch.
Yep. That's what you deserve. That's what you deserve. And it's like, you're not going to give us these tests to like save our fucking lives and our like longevity and livelihood. Then I'm going to fucking lie. Like, I'm going to recommend that like, people.
Yeah. And if you're going to like, I have to verify with your parents that they have this, be like, yeah, they're going to lie for me. Fuck you.
Yeah. Fuck you.
Same team.
Like I get on TikTok and I get so mad because I see so many of these stories. I'm on the colon cancer TikTok right now, which I really kind of want to get off of because it makes me sad and it also scares me. But you just see all these like, the stage 4, like terminal. And it's like, it's so unfair. These people are so young, so young.
Yeah. Cause we've been eating fucking Dunkaroos. Like, I don't know. That can't have been good. Been eating plastic since we were children.
I was telling my friend recently, when I was a child, I was always put on like some type of diet, like always since I was like 6 or 7. And I remember we were like on a low fat diet for a long time. So because of that, like I was allowed to eat literal spoonfuls of sugar out of a sugar bowl. And I never was stopped. Well, I think my parents stopped me every once in a while, but I was like, oh, it's just Nally eating the full ass sugar out of the sugar bowl. Kool-Aid. What else did I like? Just like massive amounts of sugar. That was like, that's maybe too much. Maybe not for a growing child, right? I do miss Dunkaroos so much, though. Like, they were so good.
Bring them back. It's just icing and cookies, you know.
How could you go wrong?
Yeah, do you listen to Maintenance Phase?
No, but I've been told to. I heard it's really good.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff, especially like they did an episode on Snackwells. Do you remember those?
Yes.
Like diet cookies, but they weren't at all. It's like smart food popcorn. It's like it's all in the marketing. But it was they just sort of debunk all the bullshit from when all the little diets, the diet culture that we grew up with. And it's so fucked up and it's all marketing. It's all just for money. And it helps to be like, okay. I mean, sucks that, you know, our parents got sucked into it and we're like, you have to do this to your 10-year-old who is totally normal and healthy. But like, damn, they were sucked into it hard.
I sometimes feel so bad for my mom because she's still, I was afraid she's going to hear this because I don't mean this in a mean way, but she still is in like the diet culture.
Oh, yeah.
And I hate it. I hate it because it has affected her body in like negative ways. And I've gained so much weight. I think since I started dating Aaron, I think I've gained about like 40 to 50 pounds. And there's days where it really does affect me. And I'm like, you may experience this as a comedian and like a performer of like all of a sudden a random photo of you will show up from 10 years ago. And you'll be like, oh, that's what I used to look like. Oh, right, right. That's what I should be striving for. Those will send you down like a weird rabbit hole, like a weird spiral. But for the most part, I'm like in a better spot of like, I want to just feel healthy. Like, I don't feel healthy right now. Does that mean I need to lose weight? No, it just means like I should probably be moving more and eating more like veggies, you know? But to be in a place where I'm actively excited to like eat these foods that I would have forced myself to eat or like would have just done a low carb diet for 3 weeks straight to lose 15 pounds. And I just would eat like mayo on like lunch meat. Like I was known for that in college. I worked at Jimmy John's and Jimmy John's has a unwinch, which is just lettuce. And I would put the lettuce with every meat possible and just so much mayo. And I was so fucking skinny. And it was just like, none of this is good for you. Like, none of this is okay.
Not sustainable. Yeah.
Not sustainable. But yeah, it just makes me, I'm so glad to not have been born in that generation. And like, I don't hold anything against my parents. Like, I do think they thought they were working with the best information. And whenever we have kids, we'll be the same way where we think we're working with the best.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
But yeah, it's just like, now we have all this info, maybe stop doing those things.
Yeah, maybe try and learn a little something else. But yeah, I have PCOS, which is like do you have that or do you have any experience with it?
I think I may, but I've never been diagnosed. But
yeah,
I think I might.
Yeah, and you know, it's like it's cysts in your ovaries, but it's also like an insulin resistance situation. Mm-hmm. So your body is reacting in a way that's similar to diabetes, but it's not diabetes. But I gained like 40, 50 pounds because of it. Basically, I got my IUD out after having birth control for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And within like 6 months, my hormones were just like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're figuring it out. And if you do like really high intense cardio, your body thinks it's dying and it'll store fat because it's like trying to protect you. And it was really weird. And it was the first time I've been like, what's going on? But my entire life, any size I was, I hated what I saw. And didn't matter, thinnest to it was just horrible. And I would have these days where I couldn't leave the house because I couldn't figure, my clothes weren't feeling right. And now, you know, in the process of gaining the weight, I was just feeling crazy because I couldn't understand what was going on. But now that I know, and I was diagnosed with PCOS, I have weirdly like never felt better.
Yeah.
And there's something just like, oh, I'm very comfortable how I am right now. And I don't really care about the weight at all. And I look back to all of the other ages and when those photos pop up, I'm like, oh, yeah, I look amazing. But I also know that I had a fucking mental breakdown trying to leave the house that day. Mm-hmm. So how can I ever win? Mm-hmm. If there's no real solution, just like, I don't know what changed that I'm now like comfortable, mm-hmm. but thank God, because I could not keep on like that.
No, it's not sustainable. And you're so right. It's like anytime I feel so much happier about my body in a way that I never did when I was younger. And like, I remember like the dumb things of like, I'm 5'2". So I remember my mom being like, okay, then we should weigh, cause she weighs is the same height or was, she's not anymore because now she has shrunk because of osteoporosis. She was like, okay, we should weigh like 110 pounds. Cause it's like 100 pounds for 5 foot and then 5 pounds for each inch. And I was like, what the fuck is that? But
that makes sense.
I had a very similar thought. I think it was today. I was like, I think I felt a little weird about my body today. And I was like, yeah, I remember when you were this weight. And I was like, yeah. And remember how you had crippling migraines and you were going through like one of the worst depressions right. of your life. Like, you're so happy right now. I wouldn't change it for the world. Like, I would never go back to that. If being skinny meant having to deal with that, never again, like mm-hmm. never. So yeah, it's like an interesting, like back and forth. And it is, I broke myself. I did whole 30 with my husband on 2020. And we always joke that like, if we knew 2020 was like what was coming in January of 2020, like we wouldn't have done whole 30 that month. We would have waited until April when we couldn't go anywhere. But my body reacted so badly. And I was going through that depression and anxiety and the migraines at the same time. And I just remember being like, I'm never putting my body through this again. I was like clearly not eating enough. I clearly was like miserable.
Eating enough is actually really hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm supposed to be eating around like 2000 calories a day. And I don't think I am. And I will actively try. Like, I've hit the point of like, I'm hungry, I'm eating. I'll get really hungry right before bed. And I used to be like, no, you got to sleep it off. And it's like, no, your body is telling you didn't eat enough today. Like, fucking go eat some, like, I don't know, pretzels with peanut butter, like anything. You need something. You need nutrition. It is really, I think that's what always kind of scares me a little bit is like people don't understand that when you massively undercut your calories, you're losing weight on the scale, but like, what are you losing? Are you losing muscle mass? Are you losing bone mass? Like, a lot of times osteoporosis is from massive dieting, like just severe dieting, crash dieting. Awful. Not anytime I hear like an almond mom say they eat 1200 calories a day, like I die inside. I'm like, you're destroying your body, not realizing it.
Yeah. I'm not giving her enough.
Yeah. She needs so much. She needs so much, and that's okay.
Yeah. Ugh. Sweet bodies, they're trying their best.
I know. And that's a big thing I'll do is like, if I'm ever like really upset with my body, I try to, it's all in my stomach. So I like try to hold my stomach of like, no, you're good. Like, I need you.
Just a little tummy. Nothing wrong with that.
We're starting to try to have a kid. And I think a lot of my like body issues have come up because I was like, I remember telling my husband, like, I'm kind of afraid to lose or gain weight. And he was like, you need to talk to your therapist about that one. Cause that is crucial to have a baby. And I was like, that's the big one. And I remember like every time like we like go to bed, he likes to cuddle my stomach, which like as an IBS baby, I'm like, why are you doing this? And I was like, why do you always go for my stomach? And he's like, cause I love your belly. And I was like, you like it? And he was like, yeah, it's great. And like, that was also like mind blowing for me too. Cause like, I grew up in a family that like, where my dad was like, men don't like fat girls, like men like skinny girls. Ugh, right.
Horrible.
I know. And it's like, again, I don't blame them. I just think that's what they like were taught and what they saw. And I was like, ooh, girl, you gotta beat this out before that kid comes, like whatever gender. So like I just want them seeing you like hugging yourself and like loving whatever shape you are at any point. But we got a lot of work to do still if you're afraid to gain weight while pregnant.
Right.
Yeah.
That's actually most of it.
Yeah.
Growing a bag of bones inside. Yeah.
So, a big part.
Yeah. That's exciting though.
Yeah, it is. It's exciting. We had to stop because I left my job abruptly back in August. So it's exciting to start again. Like truly, sorry, Aaron. He truly came inside of me for the first time in a long time today. And we both were like, right? Because we were like, oh, we got to stop until you have like maternity leave again for me. And afterwards, because we hadn't talked about it, we were like, this is the month we'll start. And then afterwards, I was like, how'd it feel like coming inside of me? And he was like, you know, I was like, do I do it? Is it happening? What's going on? Do we?
Is it myself.
I hope he's okay me telling him that. I'm going to text him later to be like, I said this on the podcast. Is that cool? Because there is so much I talk about. And it's like, I have to keep some things private, I guess. But I did just say he came inside of me earlier today.
Hey, it's healthy. It's normal.
Healthy.
Okay.
This has been a great episode, though. I think like these are such like important conversations. And so like thank you so much for going on this journey with me. But yeah. I do always love to ask people, is there anything we didn't talk about that you want to talk about?
Anything? Oh, this is like my therapist asking me.
I did it to you.
Give me the survey, Natalie.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I am the problem.
It's okay. I'm the problematic doctor to my cat and you're my therapist to me. So I will Venmo you $200 and I'll see you in 2 years.
In 2 years, we will do another session. It'll be great.
Yeah. No, I mean, I love this conversation. I think we covered a lot of bases.
We did.
But all good. It's sort of like a sampler tray of things to think about. TikTok sides to be on, algorithms to build, you know?
How important TikTok is. I'm so pro TikTok. I mean, some of it is very dumb, but the parts of it that I'm on, I do like. Though I did accidentally get a Christian one. It was like, I'm sorry if I'm going to offend anyone, but the rainbow means God's love, not your sexual identity. And then I was like, I must see the comments. And the comments were like, actually, you dumb cunt. It's actually light hitting water, you fucking whore. And I was like, yes.
This light hitting water, you fucking whore.
That is what it's I live so for.
Yeah, I TikTok in a lot of ways is sort of like this whisper network of communicating with people that we haven't been able to communicate with before and sharing our experiences. So then you're like, oh, I'm not fucking crazy. More people are going through this exact thing. Mm-hmm. And now I have answers. Or it's not uncommon to feel this way. Great. I feel seen. It's a great place to feel seen and validated. So I'm all for it.
I love that for us.
Yeah.
Well,
I love that for us.
I will let you go. And then everyone listening should go buy your book, Shitty Craft Club. No.
Yes.
Is that Shitty Craft Club? Okay. I don't know why. Yeah. I was like, yeah, that's it. Shitty Craft Club. And I can't wait for the videos to come out for your awesome studio to be shown with all like my favorite colors.
Oh, yes.
I love it.
Come on by. Yeah. Next time you're in LA, come over.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll let you know.
Okay.
Remember to rate, like, subscribe, review, go follow Sam, go grab her book, Shitty Craft Clubs. I hope it's a good day for you. I hope it was. I hope it will be. I don't know what this outro is, but I love y'all and thank you so much for always being there. And you will hear from me in 2 weeks. I'm putting it out there. Keep myself accountable. Love you guys. Bye.